Here it is. It's time for the Monday show. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill, and that's Wendy. You can jump in if you like at 312-981-7200 and share your thoughts with us. I know you had a busy weekend. I know you went to a bar mitzvah, your first ever.
Yes, I did not go to the ceremony, which I am upset about because I had three things in one day.
Yeah.
And I had never been to a bar mitzvah, and I wanted to go to the ceremony. It is a production.
Sure it is.
So this is
a boy becoming a man is what it is.
And a bat mitzvah is the girl?
Girl becomes a man.
I should add one, then.
Those are more fun to watch, actually, I have to say.
You don't want to sit in the front row for that.
You are nuts. Well, I thought like the big thing was, you know, eighth grade graduation or high school graduation.
Yeah.
But this is a 13-year-old. This is amazing.
This is a big thing.
Oh, I did this. I did the hora.
So that's you didn't go to the ceremony?
No, I did not.
Right. Well, the funniest thing was, so when we moved into, you know, our kids went to a school with a lot of Jewish kids, and we had a lot of Jewish friends, and started going to bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. So our Jewish friends would always say, oh, yeah, it starts at 9. Don't go until about 10:15.
Right.
And we're like, what?
Why?
It's kind of drawn out.
It doesn't calculate, but that's the way it just works. You just kind of wander in when it's about time.
And yeah.
Like, no, we have to be there at 9.
It makes
you couldn't do
that. It can be a long day.
Well, this is the hora where they play Hava Nagila and you dance around in a circle and people are lifted up on chairs. Marianne Marciano grabbed my hand and was bothered that Bob Surratt was holding a guy's hand, so she moved everybody in the line around so it could go boy, girl, boy, girl.
Oh, you're saying that Marianne has become a man?
No.
Oh.
No. But I'm
was
glad
she... Was she making sure that the food was healthy? Because I know Marianne, it takes great pride in making sure that the food is both delicious but healthy at the same time. Was she doing that?
No, because it really wasn't healthy. It was fantastic. It was fried chicken, brisket.
Yep. Traditional fried chicken.
Salmon.
Yep.
Brussels sprouts, which I think I ate for everyone at the table.
No one wants Brussels sprouts.
Mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
But I have never participated in the hora before, and I'm glad Marianne grabbed my hand and said, this is fun, come on.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Of course it is.
You should
go to more bar mitzvahs.
I want to become Jewish. How do I do that? And my husband said, I knew you were going to say that.
Well, you already...
I love pastrami.
Does that help? You just passed the test. That's the only test they'll give you.
I like more Jewish food than you do, and you're half Jewish.
I know. I used to, when we would go to my relative's house for the Jewish holidays, I would not eat. I would tell them I was fasting for my sins because I did not like the food at all.
You don't like kreppel?
No, the food is not great. I'm sorry, but it just isn't. I wish it were, but it's not. It doesn't have, what's the word, any flavor. It does not have any flavor. And the flavor that is there is not that pleasant. And I tried over and over again to like it, and it just never worked for me.
Now, your mom was Catholic. Your dad is Jewish.
Correct.
Did your mom like Jewish food?
Yeah, she did.
What's not to like?
She really did.
What's not to like?
I really want to become Jewish. After the pastrami test, they will ask you that phrase.
All right.
Yes, it's paying off
for
you.
I'm sick of being a shiksa. Is that what I am?
And you made a noise that is...
I said away.
Yeah, as you were sitting down, which, again, is points in your favor, extra credit. So I can get you in.
Well, I was really impressed with my first ever bar mitzvah. And like I said, I really wish I could have attended the ceremony. But with Father's Day weekend, we had other things
going on. Yeah.
To do.
This was Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday. Yes. Went to celebrate Father's Day with my father-in-law and mother-in-law in the Northbrook region.
Mm-hmm. Not in Northbrook, but in the region of Northbrook?
Right.
Good. We don't want to be too specific. So it's somewhere within that zone, that Northbrook zone, you would find them.
Bar mitzvah. Oh, and
did you explain to them that you may want to convert?
Did that not come up? I don't need to get confirmation with anyone.
No, of course not.
My parents are no longer with us. I can do what I want.
Yeah,
I don't have to get their permission.
No, you can do whatever you want.
I actually like a combo of corned beef and pastrami.
Good. Good. Be finicky. That's perfect.
And then Father's Day, Papa Dough, just a Cajun place in Westmont that Jimmy Mack wanted to go to. We gave him a wonderful Father's Day celebration.
Oh, that's very nice.
And what did you do, my fine father? You're not my father.
I'm not your father, no. You know, it started out real. Every part of it was nice, but my daughter Reese, who has no interest at all in superheroes or superhero lore or the films at all, zero, said to me the day before, she goes, I would really like you to see Wonder Woman with me, which is so nice of her because she doesn't.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she has no interest in that stuff.
Yeah, but
at
Wonder
all.
Woman is kind of going around all the boundaries.
Yeah, I think
still
so.
Still superhero. But
then we had an interesting discussion afterwards. You've seen Wonder Woman.
I haven't.
Oh, you have not? There's kind of an underlying theme of men ruin everything.
And, well, yeah, that's...
And it was true. Like, the more I thought about it, I couldn't argue it. Because it's true. Because in the movie, they show all the Amazon women, and I've gotten in trouble in the past for using that phrase.
I love it every time you do.
But Steve,
yeah, but
they themselves refer to them as, they're very proud to be Amazon women because they order all their outfits from Amazon, so they get the name Amazon women, and they live in this beautiful. It's an island with beautiful waterfalls, and they explain how it came to be and how in the past. Because there's no men there at all. It's just women. And they explain that in the past, men ruined things, and in the future, men will continue to ruin things. And then we talked about it afterwards, and I go, you know, they got that right. They nailed that part.
That's what you took out of the movie? Everybody's been raving how fantastic it is, and you're like, men ruin everything.
It was nice. You know, you don't get that many movies where women just don't need a guy.
Are there any men in it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a bunch of men in it, but they just marvel at the fact that Wonder Woman can take care of business. Like Chris Pine is a great,
Does she ever say, excuse me, I gotta go take care of business?
No, that's not the actual line from the movie.
Okay.
But anytime there's trouble, all the guys are like, no, you got this one, take care of this one. And then they just kind of sit back and they let her do the fighting and then they marvel at how good she is. And, you know, she's really good, but there is a theme start to finish of, boy, if men weren't around, it'd be all waterfalls and unicorns and stuff. And
no, it wouldn't.
I don't know. There's something to it. When you see the movie, you'll appreciate it more because the guys, they ruin stuff, you know? That's what I got out of it.
That's
I know that's not
Happy Father's Day.
Ideal message. But then we talked about it. I said, what'd you think of the movie? And they go, well, Reese said, boy, she was great, and she is. Wonder Woman's great, and the actress who plays her is great. And she goes, and guys, just every time there's a guy in the movie, all hell breaks loose. And I go, yeah, that's kind of accurate, isn't it? And it is.
Yeah, but just think of how, you know, mundane our life would be without you guys to clean up after.
Right.
Happy Father's Day again.
Well, there's a scene, a quick spoiler alert, although this isn't a major plot development, where she just meets Chris Pine, and where she's from, where Wonder Woman's from, there's never been any guys. It's just been women from the beginning on, you know? And she says, there's a book that I read about men, and in the book they say it's a 12 book series. And what they decide is that men are really just there to help procreate, and that's pretty much it. And I go, yeah, all right, whatever. That makes sense, I guess.
Well, that's sad.
It's sad, but it's played for laughs, you know, because Chris Pine is listening and he's nodding and he's going, oh, yeah, well, I get it, you know.
Is it supposed to be a comedy?
It's supposed to be it's action-adventure, but there's some funny moments in it. But, yeah, I don't know. I liked it.
Sounds like you weren't crazy about it.
I liked it, but then, like, the message kept resonating. I kept going, yeah, we kind of do ruin stuff. Like, women are, they think stuff out so much better.
Well, we're just different. We do things differently.
But, God, like, you know how guys have this attitude of, like, it's all territorial with guys?
Yeah,
like,
I live with three of them.
Well, then you know.
Life would be easier with girls in my house.
Yeah.
But then I'd get bored.
I guess.
I like the strife every once in a while.
Right. And that's what men provide. So, yeah.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, and it's funny because Jimmy Mack has been bugging us all to go, and we've just not been up for it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went to the bar mitzvah, Jim's brother took the boys, and Jim was pissed then. Like, oh, really? I've been trying to get these guys to go with me for 3 weeks.
Can I tell you, I don't think I have seen one adventure movie.
Deadpool is
not one of
awesome.
Them.
I'm curious. When you say adventure movie, do you mean like superhero movie? Or...
Yeah, adults putting on costumes sort of movies. Well, I guess I saw some of the early Batman movies. But other than that,
Steve, I'm telling you, if you've seen one, you've kind of seen them all.
Except Deadpool.
Deadpool stood out.
It was really good and funny.
You want to go see a movie? It's either a action figure movie or three women or four women on a bachelorette party. Now there's another one of those, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Right, I know. Wait, let's take a quick break.
Boys ruin everything.
And then that's what I'm saying. That's kind of what I'm saying. All right, we'll take a break, and then there's more show. If you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200 gets it done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, we're talking about a bunch of things, most notably the fact that one of my daughters went and saw Wonder Woman with me yesterday. She didn't want to. No, Kylie was working. She's waitressing at a restaurant over the summer. So, Reese and I went to see Wonder Woman. Steve just admitted he doesn't remember the last time he saw an action-adventure superhero movie. And I have to be honest, they're just kind of all running together in my head.
Well, they're all, that's
Deadpool.
All that's happening
Deadpool
now.
Deadpool stood out.
Yeah, I would see Deadpool, I guess. But
that is so funny,
it's
really
good.
There was a novelty at first, but now it's just, it's
that's
like, come
all
on,
they
make something new.
Right. It's the same story over and over, and I keep going, and I don't know what I'm expecting to be different, but it is...
But
you know,
you like that. You like action-adventure heroes.
I like it, but I never walk away. Even the movie was fine. The movie was good.
You're the only one on the planet who has not liked this movie, by the way.
It's not that I didn't like it. I just keep expecting more, and then when they're over, it's like before these movies happen, I could tell you 8 or 10 things that are going to happen in the movie, and they always do, including the clash at the end of good versus evil, where they're so powerful that they just throw like cosmic beams at each other and they knock each other into buildings or into tanks or something and everything falls down. Like, you know that's going to happen, and it does. And it's impressive. Like, it looks real. You can't see strings.
Does it bother you that you know that can't happen because you didn't like The Martian because you didn't think the catapult thing was real when in fact it was?
I suspend belief. I go, okay, that's a superhero and that's one of the baddest guys in the universe and they're fighting. I get it. But you just know those things are going to happen, and they always do happen. It's like beat for beat for beat. And the superhero is always like trying to come to terms with his or her superpowers. And they're trying to their best to relegate. Oh, why do I deserve these powers? Will I use them for good or evil? You know, all that stuff always happens. So I don't know what I'm expecting, but Deadpool was the only one I've seen, I think, since the first Christian Bale Batman that I kind of went, when I walked out, I went, that's... Oh, and actually, the one with the Joker was really good, too.
With Heath Ledger?
Yeah. I thought that was really
those
good.
Those are really the only three action movies I've seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, having all boys, they always want to go. Opening weekend, they go to all of them. Dylan loves them, my youngest. Michael likes them
but
a lot.
But they walk away
they love
satisfied
them.
When it's over, right?
Yeah, because that's their cup of tea. Mm. And I never go with them. I saw Deadpool not at the theaters, but at home, and I couldn't believe how good that was. I'm looking so forward to Deadpool 2.
Mm-hmm.
It was unique.
Yeah, it was really funny. The love story was nice. You felt bad for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was something unique, and I did like the when Batman became dark and the Christian Bale.
Yeah,
that really was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
But that isn't my cup of tea. I don't like run out to see it, and that's why Jim kept saying, "Well, it's Wonder Woman. You should come with us."
Yeah,
I'll see it, but come with us. I
no interest in.
I'm
that.
Going. I'm going to.
They showed clips. There's a new Spider-Man movie coming out like in a month or something.
Well, of course there is.
But it's the same exact story. It's the same origin story of how Spider-Man got to be Spider-Man.
He got bit by a radioactive spider.
But they've done that like three times in the last 10 years. Like the origin story of Spider-Man.
See, why do they need to do that or just do like a quick little recap just to,
right,
in case you forgot,
right,
you know,
right,
just an announcer voice,
better. Right,
but that's what I mean, you know, these characters
cave, here's what
has anyone created a new one? I mean, was Deadpool a new character?
Deadpool was in the comic books, but he hadn't been in movie form before.
No, but I mean, like, let's have someone just create someone new altogether.
Oh yeah, that'd be all right.
The Wendy.
No, it's Bill Leff's got to be an action hero. He's much like Peter Pan, but
he could be a sidekick.
No, he's got the interesting tale where he's a superhero, but you look at him and you'd never think he was a superhero.
Mild mannered.
It is a nice tale, Bill.
Thank you.
What would your power be? Your superpower?
I could eat a ton of M&Ms. I don't know if that
all colors.
Yeah, of course, Steve. Yeah, Yeah. I don't know if that comes in handy.
I don't know.
But in a sitting, I could eat like 400 M&Ms. But again, I don't know if that... Is that enough?
It hasn't been done.
No,
we'll
I
say
guess.
That.
All right.
Why can't, you know, like if you read the comic books of Superman or Spider-Man or any of those things, it's different adventures. Why can't these movies be like a different adventure each time? And then wouldn't it be something different?
They are kind of, but for some reason with Spider-Man, every 10 years they go, we got to start over.
Some people might not know.
I know. All right. We must take a break, a quick break, and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. I just want to say really quickly, I go out of my way, and I know you do too, if we have a sponsor on the show and it's something that pertains to us, you want to try them out and make sure that they're as good as we say they are, don't
you? Well,
I
do that first, usually.
Yeah, I guess so. That would be the right, that would be the better order to do it in.
to make sure I love something.
I had some things that I needed to have had hauled away.
The 1-800-GOT-JUNK?
I went to 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and I have to say they were better than they advertised fine, but they were better than advertised.
I love them.
Yeah, they did a really nice job.
I have so much junk, I have to call them back.
And I felt guilty because some of the things I need carted off, we have... back when air conditioners were three times the size of what they are now, we had one of those air conditioners.
Oh, the window units?
Yeah, and it must weigh 180 pounds.
Yep.
It's gigantic. And normally I would have carried it myself, but with my crazy leg, I wasn't able to. So I said to them, I feel so guilty about this, but it's not. Hey, no problem.
They
please.
Wouldn't let you carry it
please.
Anyway.
Please.
They don't let you help.
No.
You point to something.
And they make it disappear.
Voila.
Yeah. Voila.
It's gone.
Voila. Yeah. So very nice guys. Got it done quickly, inexpensively. I'd use them again in a minute. They were really good.
I was on my big hoarders kick for a while when I was watching that show, which I just reminded myself I need to catch up on it because it makes me want to purge things.
Mm-hmm.
I love these homes that you walk in. My friend Sue and Jeff, you walk in. There's nothing. It's just all beautiful. I'm like, where do you put your mail? Do you even get mail? Do you ever have a magazine? Nothing is out. Nothing.
Zero? That's
it's like
hard
a
to do.
Staged home. I don't know how she does it.
Wow.
So then, you know, I watch Hoarders and realize, well, I'm not that bad, but I want to purge everything.
Right.
And 1-800-GOT-JUNK is involved with that show because as they're purging things, you see the 1-800-GOT-JUNK trucks.
Oh,
what
that's
a great
brilliant.
Gig for them.
That's brilliant.
They're awesome. I love them. And what they can recycle, they do. They're really great. So
yeah.
If you need, and I'm not talking about, you know, like your aunt who's been living there. You can't point to her. They're not going
to
remove her.
It has to be legitimate junk.
Right.
Right. An old air conditioner. We had some love seats. My collection of Windy City Live episodes. All gone. All right.
You're so mean.
I didn't even have to point at those. They went, you want us to get rid of these, right? And I'm like, yeah. So they did. All right.
You're a mean man.
How about this? It turns out, now I don't know if you'll remember, I have to go back and give you a little bit of history to see if you'll remember this. There was a movie about 15 years ago called The Mothman Prophecies with Richard Gere. Did you ever hear of that or see that movie?
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I did hear of it.
It's really scary. It's a really scary movie. And what they do is they tell you the legend of this Mothman who for years and years and years, people have said that they have seen this guy who's half human and half moth.
Not like Mothra.
No, Mothra was like a prehistoric monster in Asia. But Mothman exists here in the United States.
Do you believe this?
So many people have said that out of the corner of their eye, they have seen this guy who like flies around. And he, like I said, he's half human and he's half moth. And the story, I mean, in the movie, it does a really nice job of scaring you.
Really?
Because you say to yourself, well, that probably doesn't exist. But if it does, very scary. Well, now, all of a sudden, for some unexplained reason, the sightings of Mothman here in Chicago have gone through the roof.
You know, we had that Mark O'Connell on, was it Friday?
Yeah.
And he's written the book, The Close Encounters Man. He said that he has Mothman stories.
Right. Yeah, at some point
this
we got to get
coming,
him up here. Right.
It's all coming full circle.
Here's a story that was just printed over the weekend. Listen to this. A mysterious winged creature which some have compared to Mothman, seemingly continues to lurk in the Chicagoland area, as several more sightings have been reported in recent weeks. The strange saga began last month when three separate people claimed to have seen the creature over the course of the same evening. Since that time, more witnesses have come forward with their own stories of encountering the giant flying enigma. Dutifully chronicled by 14 researcher Lon Strickler, the most recent sighting occurred last weekend when a woman and her friends first heard an unsettling high-pitched screech. When they looked up, the group spotted an enormous bat-like creature circling on an adjacent marina and were stunned when it was joined by a second flying oddity of similar size and shape.
All right, first of all, I don't believe this. Second of all, then it would be Mothmen.
Or Mothman and woman.
Mothman.
Mothman.
You just did it.
Was he at the bar mitzvah that you were at over the weekend?
Along with Spider-Man.
Mr. Mothman, I've heard interesting things about you.
Mothman and Mothwoman?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, don't you?
Then there's a moth baby.
Well, you would imagine. Yeah.
I'm scared.
Although the witness conceded that the creature could be a massive bat, that big?
Massive bat, Mothman. Big difference.
That's too big to be a I don't think they make bats the size of a human,
no.
Do they? That's
no.
Too big.
God, if they do, I don't know what I'm doing.
That'd be frightening. She indicated some reluctance to believe that theory as she likened the enigmatic animal to a gargoyle or a human in a wingsuit, which connects to the humanoid characteristics that other witnesses have ascribed to it. So most of the sightings, not just here in the Chicagoland, but in the past, have been exactly as the name would imply. It's kind of a human-sized form, but it has, like, wings, and it moves much like a moth would. And
Is it attracted to light, then?
I was going
to
say, do they kill it with a giant light?
A giant newspaper. You got to carry a huge newspaper.
A big flame.
And you know when you kill the moths, there's all that dust.
Yeah,
man,
moth
that gets...
residue.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's their soul.
Is it their soul, Steve?
Yeah.
It might be their
dust.
Soul. Another sighting of the creature happened 2 weeks earlier and featured a law enforcement officer observing the anomaly while out walking with his young son. According to the witness, the anomaly had a distinct human figure of about 6 foot high and sported enormous wings that appeared to be 8 to 10 feet across. That's not a bat.
That would freak my
stuff. I was going to say like a crane maybe or something.
No.
But that's pretty huge.
Not that big, Kevin.
Yeah, that's large.
Not that big.
And cranes have the little skinny spindly legs. This is like human legs.
Right.
Mothman skips leg day.
I don't know if that's true. Is that true?
Could be.
The stunned father and son watched the entity fly over a nearby tennis court before disappearing into a field house.
You could play with them.
I can't anymore, Wendy. I got a bad leg. Although if I had wings, I'd still be able to play.
So how do you hold the racket?
All right, there's that.
In your mouth?
Moth. It's not Mothman. It's Mothman. A similar sighting by another father and son. I like that this is bringing fathers and sons together.
Over Father's Day weekend.
Right.
That's why they were hanging out.
What are you going to do with your dad on Father's Day? We're going to go out and look for a giant moth. Hide your sweaters, Wendy. I don't know if you have any great sweaters, but keep them under lock and key.
They should get Mothman to come destroy the sweater of this guy with Abe Lincoln out on Pioneer Court.
I would be all for that. A similar sighting by another father and son duo took place a few days prior to that incident and essentially described the same exact creature that others have been seeing, although this encounter also featured an unsettling sound akin to the brakes of a train. Now, that happens in the movie. Whenever Mothman shows up in this Richard Gere movie,
it's like a
high-pitched screech, but then there's fluttering, too.
God, how freaky.
It's very freaky.
Is it a pretty good movie?
It's really good.
And what's it called?
The Mothman Prophecies.
All right, I'm going to
see the first one.
What's it called?
it wasn't just
the Mothman.
Tales of the Mothman something, but it's the Mothman Prophecies, and it's Richard Gere, and it's really creepy. I've seen it 3 times, And I, like, the first time I saw it, I didn't think it'd be good at all. I'm like, it's just a giant moth. This isn't going to be scary.
Yeah, Steve, this doesn't count as a superhero movie,
no,
so you should watch it, too.
I could watch this one.
This
definitely
is a giant insect movie.
So that's the first one, The Mothman Prophecies? There's
a
second one?
They did a sequel that Richard Gere wasn't in,
okay,
and it wasn't
so the
very
Richard
good.
Gere one.
Only
right.
The first one's good. All told, the number of sightings of the creature, the Mothman creature in the Chicago area, have now reached an astounding number of 7 in the last month or so. 7 different occurrences of people seeing the Mothman. Residents of the Windy City or curious readers looking for more information on the cases can check out Strickler's Phantoms and Monsters website as well as his excellent interactive map of the sightings.
I don't want to check it out.
Lon Aren't you guys Strickler. The ones who started that whole clown thing around the country?
Yes.
Right.
That was us.
All right, I went to Snopes.com and I looked up Mothman. A man who wished to remain anonymous claimed to have snapped pictures of Mothman, the legendary West Virginian flying monster. On November 20th, an unidentified man allegedly captured images of what he believed to be the Mothman, a flying humanoid monster that gained fame for terrorizing the West Virginia town of Point Pleasant in the mid-60s. So that's where it originated. Mm-hmm. And what's weird is Snopes is very first to tell you whether it's true or false.
Right.
This just says unproven.
Oh, wow.
So I got goosebumps when I said
that. I don't think I've ever looked up anything on Snopes that it's been classified as unproven.
I know.
That's eerie.
The Mothman has been part of the local folklore of Point Pleasant, a small city on the western border of West Virginia, since it was first sighted in 1966. Sightings of the creature were associated with the collapse of the Silver Bridge over the Ohio River in 1967.
That happens in the movie. The movie focuses on that story.
It killed dozens of people, leaving some residents to consider Mothman sightings to be bad omens.
Mm-hmm.
Although the bridge collapse occurred more than a year after the first sightings were reported, so the connection there is sketchy.
Right.
While the Mothman legend has become a national curiosity and tourist attraction, early news reports on initial sightings suggest authorities believed it was an unusual-looking bird. That'd be the biggest damn bird in the world.
That's too big to be a bird.
And ostriches don't fly.
No. That's a 6-foot bird. That's impossible.
It's Big Bird. Why didn't we think of that?
It could be Big Bird. Well, they had to put giant Shell No-Pest strips up all over West Virginia to try to catch it.
Around the time it was first spotted, the Mason County Sheriff George Johnson said the creature was likely a shitepoke.
I'm sorry, it was a what? what is it?
Well, the word that we can't say on the air, add an
you're not
e
be
poke
in,
at it.
You're not going to be in the WGN Walk of Fame if you talk like that.
I can't spell it even. It's
if you say it with a British accent, it'll sound better.
Right. It always does.
It's spelled like shite.
Uh-huh.
Poke.
Oh.
Shite-a-poke.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's what they're classifying
it's a type
it
of heron. But again.
That's a bird.
That is a, that there's no 6-foot heron.
No. Although herons are big, they're not 6 foot tall. They're like 2.5 feet tall.
Well, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Now, because it's come to Chicago.
I
could have stayed in West Virginia. I wouldn't have cared.
Right. There's nothing to do in West Virginia. At least they give them something to do. But this is Chicago. We don't need these. Unless it helps balance the budget. Then it's all right. All right. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back. Be very afraid, everybody. We're very afraid. You should be very afraid, too. The Mothman is out there. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Well, this is sad news that we found out over the weekend. Stephen First, who played Flounder in the classic movie Animal House, one of the funniest movies of all time, died over the weekend at the age of 63.
Complications due to diabetes, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too young.
It is too young. And a very nice man. Years ago, they did an Animal House reunion here in Chicago. They showed the movie at one of the theaters, and 5 of the stars of Animal House came in. And I got to interview Stephen First, and he was a very, very nice man who seemed, you know how a lot of times with stars of movies, they seem kind of entitled? Like, he seemed amazed that he was in the movie. Like, he couldn't get over the fact that he was part of such an important film. And then I'm a big, big fan of St. Elsewhere, the television show St. Elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And he was in St. Elsewhere for its entire run. And that was another thing that he just seemed shocked that they chose him to be in. You know,
couldn't imagine Animal House without Flounder.
No, he was perfect, wasn't he? He was perfect. And you know what's sad is there was a clip over the weekend. I'm trying to remember what show showed it, But they showed a bunch of the guys. So Animal House was out in the 1980s, right? So all those guys who were all in their 20s when they made this movie are all in their 60s now. You know, he was 63. But in the clip they showed John Belushi and him. And then they showed the guy who was Stork, Doug Kenny, and he's gone also. And it's just, you just go, wow, some of those guys are gone already. And you think of them as just being college kids. Stephen First, the actor who played the hapless beanie-wearing frat boy Flounder in the 1978 movie Animal House. Did I say 80s? It's 1978. I apologize.
I thought that was too current.
Was I a junior in high school when Animal House came out? That movie scared me so much because I thought to myself, boy, if college is like that, I'm not going to last 10 minutes. I don't think I'll see the first day end.
It wasn't really like that.
No, it's a far more gentler in real life. The actor who played Flounder has died, age 63. His son Nathan First told CNN on Saturday. It was from complications from diabetes. Nathan First said, over the last several years, it was getting worse a little bit, and sort of the same typical things that tend to happen when you have diabetes over a long period of time. First also appeared on TV in St. Elsewhere, and then on Babylon 5. I know he was in that as well. But he'll best be remembered for his role as the innocent freshman Kent Dorfman in National Lampoon's Animal House, which ushered in a brand of raunchy comedy. Well, it didn't just usher it in. It perfected it.
Yeah, big time.
It really showed you how to make, if you're going to make one of those movies, because those movies kind of already existed. There were already movies like that. But Animal House was the one that just kind of took it to new levels and made it really good. His character was rejected by the other fraternities at the fictional Faber College, but got into hard partying and rule breaking at a frat called Animal House. Bluto, the house wild man, played by John Belushi in his breakout role, gave Dorfman the nickname Flounder. A series of mishaps and humiliations followed.
Well, I thought it sounded familiar, but I don't think Flounder was in when we had the cast of Animal House that came in along with Judy Belushi, remember?
Oh, no, he wasn't part of that. That was a separate day.
We had Judy Belushi, Maddie Simmons, Karen Allen.
Right.
Niedermeyer was there, Mark Metcalf.
Right.
Babs was there, I forgot, still yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And Otis Day.
Yeah, right.
See, it's fun to go to the WGN radio app, look up our show, and then search it, and boom, there it is.
There was some weirdness with Otis Day when he came in. Like, he wasn't announced, and then he has a real name. The guy who played Otis Day has a real name, but he has since changed his name to be Otis Day. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I have his real name here, but I just closed the
page. But he didn't
want
to be known by that. He took the name of his character, Otis Day.
Well, I would have gone with that, too.
I guess so.
I didn't know. I thought it was Otis Day.
But do you remember, like, he wasn't supposed to be there, and then we called him by his real name?
Dwayne Jesse or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he got upset. He goes, no, my name's Otis Day.
I didn't call him that. I said Otis, my man, and I kept with the Otis. I don't, you know. But that's something he should have told us before he got in the studio.
Right, right.
But who knows him as...
By his real
Jesse
name.
Jesse Dwayne?
Is that
Dwayne
his real
Jesse?
Name?
Dwayne Jesse.
Dwayne the Rock Jesse?
D.E. Wayne Jesse.
Yeah, no, you got to stick with Otis Day. Yeah. Once you roll with that.
But just because you're in a movie, you can't just assume the name of whatever character you play in the movie. But he didn't know that.
What was your character name in Major League?
Bobby James.
That's what I'm going to call you for.
Bobby James.
Now on.
All right, that's fine. All right, we will take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's more things to discuss with you. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bobby James.
Yeah,
that's me, who it
Bobby.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. And I got to tell you, I'm probably ripe for a hacking.
You think so? Why do you say that?
Well, I probably shouldn't reveal all this information on the air, but I'm not good with passwords.
Yeah.
I mean, I change them, but, you know, a lot of people I know have a lot of the same passwords for the
for
several different things.
Right.
And you're not supposed to. I can't keep track of them all. But that's where we need expert help. Jason Glassberg on the line with us, co-founder of Kasaba Security. And you, sir, are an ethical hacker. You hack into things to tell us how to prevent getting hacked. Isn't that how it goes?
Exactly. It's more like a quality control engineer. We like to look at it. Just want to make sure the defenses are in place and systems are strong and impervious to attack.
Jason, is it getting harder or easier for hackers, professional hackers, to get to our information?
Well, you know, I think it's easier and harder at the same time, because as much as more and more of our information and monetary transactions and such are being put online, the target area is much greater. However, the more people realize and understand that they are at risk when they go online, you know, the better people can protect themselves. So there's definitely increased danger out there, but with heightened awareness, people are definitely equipping themselves better.
And quite honestly, I don't have much to hack. I'm not like, what was the airline that was just hacked recently? There are big corporations that are getting hacked. To me, there's, you know, you'll get stupid pictures of food.
But if you've ever used your credit card, if you've ever made an online purchase with your credit card, that's stored
which
somewhere
we all
in
have.
Your computer. Yeah.
And in fact, Jason, now that we have you on the line, I just received word from a certain gaming place that, yes, Steph, it appears that our system has been hacked. So what do I do? Just keep track of my bank accounts and make sure there are no erroneous charges from that particular place?
Well, yeah, that's your first your first line of protection is, of course, to monitor your accounts as closely as possible. One would always recommend that when you do purchase things online, that you purchase with either a credit card or one of the online payment systems such as PayPal that give you a certain amount of protection regarding fraud. You really don't want to use your ATM online, but clearly keeping track of what you've purchased and where you purchased is really your best defense.
And isn't that so? I mean, I do a lot of mobile banking, and I have an app from my bank on my phone, and I check that regularly. I mean, several times a day. Isn't that one of the best ways to keep track of things? Because if you see something that you didn't charge, you call your bank, and they're going to take care of it.
Absolutely. Using a dedicated app on your phone is that you know has come from your institution is really a safe way to go. One of the nastier tricks the bad guys like to pull is an attack they call phishing, where you get an email that looks just like it came from your bank, maybe telling you that there's been some account problems, you need to reset your password. You click on the link, and while you think you're going to your bank, you're in fact going to the bad guy's website where they're capturing your account information. So using a dedicated app from your financial institution is really the safest way to go.
So would you suggest, like, say, for instance, I get something from one of my credit cards that says some suspicious activity happened, please log in. Don't follow that link. Go to the actual site. Like, if it's Discover card, you go to the discover.com and log on that way just to double check. It's easy to fall for this stuff, and I feel bad for some of the older people. I know if my mom was around, she probably would have fallen for so much of this stuff.
Absolutely. And really, if you think about it, these are crimes of opportunity. These bad guys are casting a wide net over the entire Internet. And so, you know, the cost of sending out 100,000, 200,000 of these fake emails is virtually nothing. And all they really need is a very small percentage of people to respond. And it's a win for them. So, yeah, it is kind of troubling. But again, you know, no legitimate financial institution, government agency, you know, power company, phone company is ever going to ask for any kind of account information over email. If you see that, you can almost be guaranteed that it's going to be a fake phishing mail. And really, at the end of the day, picking up the phone and calling these, you know, calling the bank or calling the power company and saying, hey, is there a problem with my account, is really the safest way to go.
Jason, let me read you an email I received on Friday, and I get this about every 3 months. It says customer security, that's the header, and then there's a man's name who I don't know, and it says, dear user, your email account has exceeded its limited needs to be verified. If not verified within 24 hours, we shall suspend your account. Click on Restore Access below and verify your email account. Then when you hit Restore Access, it asks for a bunch of personal information. It's signed AT&T. It looks as legit can be, but I don't believe in it. And this happened on Friday, and it said they're giving me 24 hours. 72 hours have passed, and my email's still working.
Well, exactly. Again, you know, if there's any question in your mind, you can pick up the phone and call AT&T. But again, these kinds of attacks are exactly the modus operandi of the bad guys, is that they want to threaten you. They give a very realistic looking email and asking you to click on the link. Now, clicking on the link in and of itself can be dangerous, because if you have an unpatched system or running an earlier version of a web browser or operating system, merely clicking that link can install malware. So we always recommend that, you know, any kind of mail that you seem suspicious, don't click on any of the links ever.
Isn't that kind of how that WannaCry thing happened? People were getting things and they were downloading the attachment, and that's how these computers were being held for ransom. And is that still going on?
Absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, we talk about all of these fantastically complicated attacks against infrastructure and these large companies. And the sad fact of the matter is almost universally they're begun by someone click on an email that they thought was from some legitimate place but turned out to contain malware. And so, yes, that's exactly what happened with this WannaCry ransomware, is that, you know, people got this email. They thought, oh, let me just, you know, they click on it. They thought it was a legitimate document. The document had a virus. That virus infected every machine on the network. And in the blink of an eye, everyone's infected with this virus.
Can it happen if you open a link or malware on an iPhone or Android device? Or is it only computers?
No. You know, each one of these platforms have their own sets of vulnerabilities. Android has, you know, a bunch of them. iPhone has a bunch of them. The thing people need to remember is that the phones and your tablets and your iPads and all this stuff really are computers. You know, we think about them as phones and as gadgets and this and that, but we really need to have the same kind of perseverance and keep our wits about us when we use our phones, just like we would with our computers. They really are all computers, and they're all susceptible to these kinds of attacks.
Jason, if somebody had it in their heads to bring a country to their knees, they could easily infiltrate their computer systems and just bring us down in no time, couldn't they? That'd be the first move if they wanted to, right?
Well, yeah, and in fact, we've seen it. You know, of course, we famously saw it back in 2010 in Iran with the Stuxnet, and we recently saw it last December over in Kiev. They were attacked, and their entire power grid was taken down for a few hours. So, you know, this is a very it's a legitimate concern, and it's a harbinger of kind of the way countries and nation states are going to attack each other in the future.
All right, but you think about this, and, you know, we have an antivirus on our computer. I expect the government and important places to have a pretty huge firewall. Is someone keeping up with that and adjusting it and perfecting it each and every day? Because it seems like there are threats, new and new ones, coming out all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is front and center of you know, national security cyber policy. There are these systems which they call SCADA systems, which are command and control systems. They control dams and power centers, are constantly and vigilantly defended. In fact, you would think an attack like this would be commonplace, but in fact, they're really quite rare. With all of the hacks and all the attacking between, you know, hacking groups and countries that have gone on, there have really only been two known instances of these kinds of infrastructure attacks being successful. So while I'm sure there are attempts, I have every faith that at least in our country, we have the proper defenses in place to prevent these things.
All right, 312-981-7200. If you have a question about hacking, about anything computer-related, Jason Glassberg on the line with us, co-founder of Kasaba Security. You can go to kasaba.com. We will continue after these. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. We are talking about cyber attacks and hacking. Jason Glassberg is on the line with us, the co-founder of Kasaba Security. Jason, I know that there's an investigation ongoing looking into the Russians hacking into our election system. I keep hearing that. Some people said that it's a definite that it happened. Other people are saying it didn't. But what information did they get? I've heard that they've hacked into the DNC stuff. They've hacked into information about some of our voters. But what did it do exactly?
Well, that's really the $64,000 question. Nobody is exactly sure. There were a number of different attacks during the election season. We know, of course, the DNC got hacked, and John Podesta was also known to have been hacked and, you know, fell victim again to one of these phishing attacks. Even more troubling, it appears that there were a number of phishing attacks made against some of the electronic voting companies. And what became of that is, as you say, under investigation. They would not have been able to directly affect the machines themselves because of the way those are never on the network. But in terms of what they were looking to do or what they were able to accomplish is really kind of, you know, a mystery and is actively under investigation right now. And, of course, you also had the related release of the CIA hacking tools as well as the NSA hacking tools. And those two attacks were looked to have been happened by a group called the Shadow Brokers, which seems to have some connection to Russian intelligence, but again, it's all kind of a mystery.
Jason, anytime they talk about the possibility of being able to vote online for the presidential election or any major office, they always say the same thing. They could never guarantee complete security online. Will that ever be a thing? You'll never be able to vote online for that reason, will you?
It depends on how secure they want to make it. I mean, if we were issued tokens, for example. We had some kind of token that, you know, you sometimes get with a bank account, which gives you a random number and you type that number, or we had some two-factor authentication, which you may see also with some financial institutions, where you give them your cell phone and you log in with both a username and then respond to a text back to your phone. These are actually pretty secure systems. And so a system based on those technologies could work, but of course the expense would be just enormous. That's the practical. It boils down to money. How much do you want to spend? The more money you're willing to spend, the more secure you can make your system.
We don't have a lot of time here, but we have a question that I think a lot of listeners may have. Mark, you have a question for Jason Glassberg.
Yeah, hi. What happens? They can really screw a country if somebody took over Norton or Kaspersky's, and they went through those people, going through the security, antivirus, and really took over everybody's bank accounts, and is that possible?
You know, it is. Fortunately, though, the internet giveth and the internet taketh away, right? So it would be very hard for a company such as Kaspersky or any one of these antivirus companies to actually be able to install something on a vast number of machines and not have someone notice it and report it back up. You know, kind of a crowdsourcing, which is one of the benefits of the internet. And you know, we always talk about how dangerous it is because we're all interconnected and we can all do all these hackings. But one of the upsides is that information gets shared so quickly. So if a group of people started noticing that they were getting attacked, you know, it would filter its way up and we would be able to find out. So I really put a lot of faith in folks being able to communicate freely over the internet and report these kinds of things.
What a great question, though, Mark. Thank you very much. And some other people are texting wondering, is there a specific best antivirus to have on a computer, or as long as you keep yours up to date, they all do essentially the same job?
Yeah, and again, my feeling is that it's such an advanced piece of technology that, you know, you pick a recognized one, whether it's by Microsoft or Kaspersky or by AVG or Symantec or Norton, they're all quality, and it's always better to run one and keep one up to date than not have one at all.
Perfect advice. And if we want to find out more, where can we find you? Where's the best place to find you? Jason Glassberg.
Come right onto the internet and look at www.cassava.com.
Perfect. Thank you so very much. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you. You too. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. We'll take a quick break. We've got news, and then Eric Zorn stops by. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Zorn, 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 the great. greatest father in all the land. Zorn, Zorn, Zorn.
Can I share an intimate... we all had some words, Wendy and you and me. We were talking about Father's Day, and you mentioned that you spent Father's Day with your dad, and you've brought your dad into the show once or twice. And I said, you should be very proud of him. I said, he's very proud of you.
Yes, yes.
And you said, and I'm very proud of him.
I'm very proud of him, too.
That was nice.
That was really nice.
It was very nice.
It was a wonderful time. It was a good chance to be together. He turns 86 today.
Wow.
God love him. Happy birthday, Mr. Zorn.
Yes.
Zorn,
well,
Zorn, or Orn.
He's the greatest father that ever was born. I'm just the heir.
What did you guys do yesterday?
We just hung out in Ann Arbor a little while.
Oh, that's nice.
And then we drove back. So we went in to see him.
That's very nice.
And my mom, too, was there. So
yeah.
It was really pleasant. Yeah,
the way it should be.
Yeah, you've probably already gone through. It's probably been hours of Father's Day talk already here. But
yes, we had lovely Father's Days.
Mm-hmm. My daughter, I already explained this. She's not a superhero fan, but she took me to see Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah.
And that was we had a great time. I wasn't thrilled with the movie. I thought the movie was okay.
You're
but
turning
just,
into Mikey. Can I tell
I
you?
Know.
You hate everything now.
I don't hate it. I keep getting disappointed by superhero movies. I keep wanting more to happen, and they don't.
More special effects?
No, the special effects are fine. I don't know what I'm hoping
better
for.
Better storyline?
It's always
something
the,
different.
It's always the same.
Maybe they end up dead in the end.
That'd be better. That'd be much happier.
A darker turn at the end.
Yeah,
Wonder Woman. Oh my God!
Crushed by a giant
She's
bug.
Dead.
Yep, that would be fine. All right, so there's much to discuss with you, Eric, and most notably, this soda pop tax is very upsetting.
I don't know how many people are actually aware that this is going to happen July 1st.
It is for sure.
Right now, for sure it is. People are really agitating about it and trying to get them to at least put it off. It's not really ready to go yet. They've been changing the rules on the retailers in the last month. They've been about what prices can be on the shelves and it's just. Here's what's going to happen. On the 30th of this month, retailers are going to have to go around and they're going to have to count all the bottles of the applicable sweetened beverages. And that doesn't just include Coke. It includes Diet Coke. It includes teas, anything that's sweetened.
But can I ask you just real quickly, because this is what our confusion was before. You know how you have sweet teas and sweetened iced teas, but then you have tea with no sugar in it. Is that going to count if there's no sugar or no artificial sweetener?
If there's no sugar or no artificial sweetener, it should not count.
This is confusing.
It's going to be confusing to retailers. They're going to have to do this. And then they've got to charge this tax, and it's a penny an ounce. And so they're going to have to reprogram, obviously, their checkout machines, their cash registers to do this. But one of the problems they just really found out about recently was that SNAP, people who use SNAP, which is what we call food stamps, it's the nutritional support program, and those people cannot by federal law be charged this penny an ounce tax.
Oh, interesting.
So retailers are now in this situation so what's going to happen? It's this very strange tax contraption. What happens is that the distributor, like the Coca-Cola bottler that brings you the beverages in the big trucks, they're the ones who charge the store owner the tax. Store owner then pays the tax, and then the store owner then charges the customer the tax. Now there's going to be this wrinkle, this problem, which is that the store owner
they'll be out the money.
Well, there are somewhere around 800,000 SNAP users in Cook County.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a significant percentage of your sales in some neighborhoods, it could be up to like 60 or 70%, are going to be SNAP sales. So that now the retailer has to sort of eat that money for a while, and then he's going to have to apply to the distributor for a refund. So he's going to have to keep really careful records as to who
what a big pain.
Well, and the thing is the retailers don't deal with just one distributor. Some of them deal with dozens of distributors because they're getting their Snapple from one person and their Coke from another and their Pepsi from another and their Gatorade, or actually they're probably this Gatorade is with
Pepsi
right now. But I mean, there are all these different and some of these stores that deal with a lot of international customers or ethnic customers, they deal with distributors that are overseas.
Oh, sure.
Who aren't going to want to deal with this tax. So that they now have to – they also have to figure out – they've got to pay this tax to the county. If the distributor doesn't charge it to them, they've got to pay it to the county. I mean, it is a really complicated system. Retailers are really upset about it. I talked to the head of the Retail Merchants Association, and they're freaking about it because they think it's going to be really complicated.
It is.
How can we make this not happen? I keep hearing radio ads saying, write to your Congress people.
Well, it's a Cook County tax. It'll be the Cook County Commissioners. And they passed it by one vote. And I think there's a lot of belief that we need to put this off for a while.
Yeah.
To make it work better. I think it needs to be rethought. First of all, the idea of a penny an ounce. I mean, any kind of tax like this is regressive in that it hits poor people just as hard as rich people, and in fact, in some ways, it hits more because it's a bigger percentage of the money they have. This is even worse because, you know, if you're a low income person, you may be buying, say, you know, cheaper, you know, 79 cents. You've seen sometimes in the store some off brand soda will be 79 cents for 2 liters. 2 liters is like what, 67 ounces, something like that. So you can basically, you're almost doubling the price of that kind of soda. Whereas if you're a wealthy person who buys, you know, a $5 Coke, a little glass, 12-ounce glass of Coke at Trump Tower or something, mm-hmm. you know, that tax is just minimal. That's a small percentage. But so it's going to be hitting, you know, the bargain sodas, the people who shop for value. They're going to be hit the hardest by this. And that
what about when you're
sense.
In a restaurant and you order a Coke?
Yeah, well, this is the other thing. This is the thing that this stunned me. This is going to surprise. It's going to surprise all the listeners, I think, and that is that they are going to tax you on ice. Because if you go into, you know, a convenience store and you pick up a 20-ounce cup or something, and you're going to fill that cup with soda, they've got to charge you 20 cents to extra tax for the soda because the cup holds 20 ounces. But you know, most people put at least some ice in. Some people put a lot of ice in. Some people, you know, because it's not that expensive usually at the store. You fill the calf with ice, depending on how warm the day
is.
I'm a
big ice girl.
How long you expect to have it. You know, you're going to be driving in the car for a while. You want it to stay cold. But they say, well, unless you've got some formula with an ice fill line at the retailer's actually filling it up, putting the ice in, and then
right.
you have to, and then you can apply for a refund from the county because they're taxing the
I'm
syrup.
I'm sure you get that quickly.
They're taxing the syrup. At the rate, so you know, you buy at these convenience stores, you buy syrup, right? You put them in your soda fountain machine,
yeah, right.
It mixes the fizzy water.
Right.
Well, they're taxing the syrup at the rate that it would make beverages, so that, you know, the syrup comes in like a 5 gallon thing of goo, but the 5 gallon thing makes, you know, thousands of ounces. So they're charging you for those thousands of ounces. So you're going to go into the store, you're going to buy a 20-ounce soda, you're going to pay a penny an ounce soda tax, but you may only get 15 ounces of liquid. So they're taxing you for ice. It's just it is the craziest thing. And
this is not well thought out.
Well, and the reason, I mean, it's not well thought out, and that's, I think, one of the big problems with it. Now, even if it was really well thought out, the question is, well, is this a smart way to go? Mexico has a tax like this. Philadelphia has just recently instituted a tax back in January. They have a penny and a half announced tax there in the city. Of course, one of the problems is when the tax gets to be big like that, if you live close to the county line.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to say, well, gosh, this is a lot. And you're going to do more of your grocery shopping across the border.
Right.
And this happens, of course, with cigarettes all the time.
Oh, sure.
Indiana and so on. The idea behind this thing, first of all, they say the idea is public health. And there may be some public health benefits to this. But one of the things that happens, it happens when they study diet sodas. You notice that a lot of people drink diet sodas don't actually lose a lot of weight. And the thing is that you compensate, right? You say, well, I had a diet soda, so I'll have two servings of fries.
Yeah.
The idea is to get people to stop drinking sugary beverages. Now, why they include non-sugary beverages, I'm not sure. I mean,
yeah, because diabetics can't have sugar.
Right.
And some people just like the taste
some
of Diet
like
Coke.
I happen to.
Me
like,
too.
I like it better. And the other stuff is cloys. I think it's too sweet. But their argument, I guess, is that there are some alleged health problems with NutraSweet and so on. Now, the FDA says that it's safe, but
there are problems with bacon. Are they going to do a bacon tax
now? Well, this is my argument. And they're clearly, they want to cut down on sugar consumption. If they want to have a sugar tax passed on to the consumer, that at least you could sort of justify that. You could say, well, you know, sugar, diabetes, all this, obesity, all the problems associated with it. Well, then let's have some sort of a percentage tax on sugar consumption, you know, Snickers bars and Cap'n Crunch and so
right.
on.
Right.
You could make that sort of make
Sorry,
it
Bill.
Broadly.
Don't do that.
Bill.
I'll be out of business. Please don't do that.
So you have this situation where it's sort of not logical that they're going after this one area, and it's to raise money. They're expecting to raise, you know, $270 million dollars
sure.
a year in this. I don't think they're going. Philadelphia has fallen far short on its revenue projections. Because people stop buying the stuff, or they buy it elsewhere, and what's probably going to happen here is that, you know, the actual caloric consumption or sugar consumption isn't going to go down that much. People are going to make up for it. So they say, well, I'm drinking water,
right?
So I'll have an extra, you know, bag of chips or something like that. That it doesn't
defeats the purpose.
Well, they haven't yet, I think, demonstrated the health issues. And, you know, and Cook County Board President Preckwinkle talks about the health care costs that are associated with diabetes and obesity. And she's, you know, if you can devise a system that would make people healthier.
Right.
You know,
but this isn't it.
Well, I don't think so. And you look at say cigarette taxes, and cigarette taxes have, I think, contributed to, I mean, cigarettes are absurdly expensive. Am I right? I mean, they're like, and I think it has really contributed to the decrease in smoking.
Do you?
I don't think it's the. I think it does. I think it has. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people who, especially young people, who like they couldn't possibly afford the habit. But you have sort of a narrow category a product like that. But we're talking about sweetened beverages.
Right.
I mean, everything, you know, lemonade,
everything.
All this stuff.
All right, let's take a quick break and then your thoughts. We're at 312-981-7200. We're talking about the sugar tax, the soda tax. Good idea, bad idea, let us know. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Oh, I get it. Sugar. We're talking about the sugar tax that is happening. When is that happening, Eric Zorn?
July 1st is when they're imposing
it.
In Cook County. And it's not just sugar. I love the bump music, but it's not just sugar. It's diet
artificial
sodas, artificial sweeteners as well.
Yoo-hoo? So,
yep.
Oh, yes. Oh, uh-huh. Me? No. You talking to me?
All right. Mark wants to jump in on this. Mark, you have a comment or question?
Yeah, I came into the discussion a little late, but I work for a vending industry, and we're still very unclear if this is going to actually go through July 1st or not. Just a big block is, what do you do with the one-third of consumers of these sugary beverages that are on SNAP or link benefits? They don't pay tax. And we've heard some strange things, like the code isn't completely written, Chicago truly isn't ready for this, and I didn't know if you had any answers to that.
I didn't even think about the vending machine. Eric had talked a little about the people on the SNAP program don't have to pay the extra tax, but then what, are there going to be two prices on a vending machine?
I don't think SNAP customers can now use vending machine, or can they? Can use a SNAP card in a vending machine? I don't know the answer to that, actually. If you can, then it's going to be a problem.
I think you can.
Mark's overall point is correct, which is that the retail industry is not ready for this. I mean, one of the things we talked about was this idea that you're going to need refunds on the SNAP thing.
Right.
And you have to keep track of which beverage that's sold and which distributor owes you the refund. Or it would probably be a tax credit.
It's
impossible. At this point. It's just the guy told me, he said, there's not a point of sale machine right now that's programmed to do that.
Right.
And they really don't know what they're going to do. And it seems like it's going to be chaotic. And the other thing is, people are going to hate this. I mean, you haven't heard a lot of talk about it. People are still dimly aware of it. But when this hits, when all of a sudden they get to the cash register and they're seeing this extra charge, it's not like, you know, when they raise the sales tax a penny.
Right.
And people freaked out about that a little bit. But this is going to be huge when you're buying beverages. You're
Mark, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I hope you get some answers. And to put another wrench into the mix, somebody says has texted us, what about the places that offer free refills?
Well, those are going to be gone because you can't give a free refill without charging the tax on it. The tax has to be passed along to the customer.
Oh,
that's
God.
Part of
no
it.
More
part
free of, refills?
Of, yes, no more free refills. Unless they charge you in advance, they might say, okay, well, we're going to charge you, give you a 20-ounce cup, but we're going to charge you 40 cents because you get a free refill. People aren't going to like that at all. But, you know, I don't see how free refills can survive in a situation like this.
I don't see how I can survive with this tax.
Why do you need free refills, Eric? This isn't fair.
Well,
I drink a lot of Diet Coke.
So there you go. I mean, I think it's like I said, I think people are going to be really sort of outraged. So they're going to be surprised and outraged by this.
So what's going to happen if we're surprised and outraged?
Well, Cook County Board President Toni Preckwinkle, this is her idea. This is her baby. And she just announced the other day she's running for re-election. I think she's going to have a hard time with this.
This
particular tax is going to really strike people. And you know, she makes a decent case. The county needs money. I just don't think this is the way to get it.
They keep wording it as saying bottles.
but it's
everything.
It's anything.
It's
right?
Yeah. It's
containers.
It doesn't even have to be containers. When you go to the like a 7-Eleven, you get a big cup.
Yeah, right.
So it's got to be in a container. But yeah, of course, if you can any way you buy a beverage, yes, Bill.
Slurpees.
Well, are you
kidding
me?
He's going to keep going.
Is there sugar in Slurpees?
I don't think so.
Root beers? Can I have a root beer?
Lied to you.
But so, I mean, yeah. So what's going to happen? I think the county board meets one more time before this goes into effect. There is some pressure.
You need
on
to
them.
Speak at this meeting.
There
Eric.
Is some pressure. For them to at least put a hold on it. I really think that they probably should at this point.
This is going to make everybody weep openly. Charlie, you have a question.
Yeah, what about sporting events? Wrigley Field, Soldier Field, the place where the Sox play. What's going to happen there?
You're going to get charged the extra. If a soft drink now, what do they cost now? Like
$4, $5?
Something like
I just buy beer.
It'll be whatever the extra per ounce price is.
Penny per ounce.
If it's a $4 soda, you're going to pay, and for a 20-ounce cup, you're going to pay $4.20.
So then the vendors are going to have come up with a lot more change.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, sure.
Well, or they'll get better tips.
Or they'll get worse tips. Think about that.
True.
Think about that. If it's four, I mean, how often do you, someone says $4 and you give them $5, keep the change?
Right.
If it's $4.20, give them $5, keep the change. I'll bet that the vendors are getting hurt. There's, I mean, in Philadelphia, where they've had, like I said, they had problems with, the distributors have been laying people off. And retail owners have been cutting people's hours. I mean, when you have a hit to business like this, so it is decreasing the number of people who are in Philadelphia who are buying these kind of drinks.
Sure.
It is. But the question is, you know, are they simply going elsewhere, or are they also consuming their calories in other ways?
Yeah.
Charlie, thank you for your comment. I'm going to go somewhere else to buy my soda.
Road trip.
Well, yeah, so the whole thing's going to fail. If we all do that, they're not going to get more money.
Well, you know, and Chicago already has like a 3% soda tax, and Chicago also charges 5 cents a bottle on bottled water. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
What?
You probably don't buy bottled water in Chicago.
I do.
In Chicago?
But no, not in Chicago.
This is Chicago, yeah. I mean, because the idea behind this tax is they want you to drink healthier beverages, because fruit juice, if it's pure fruit juice, even though it's got a ton of sugar.
It's exempt.
Fruit juice has got a lot of sugar, and fruit juice has an undeserved reputation for being really healthy drink. It's got a lot of sugar in it, but that's exempt. If you're full sugar, so there's a lot of like illogical elements to all this. And I do think that people are going to feel like Wendy feels, and a lot of people feel. This is true with cigarettes too. People cross the county line to buy cigarettes,
and
another sales tax. If you make a tax big enough to make it worth going out of your way for, people will do that.
So. Eric, I just fill my water bottle on the Riverwalk by the Chicago River. I don't get taxed
just
for
you
that.
Dip down into the river.
I just fill
and get it.
No wonder your skin is turning green.
They're going to be watching you, though. They've got a record of that.
I hope I don't get charged for that.
They got the cameras. That's what the cameras.
We'll find
are
out
the blue
what
light
we can
cameras.
Do.
Yeah, what can we do?
Well, I think it's the county board that's going to have to deal with this, and they are meeting again before the.
Kevin, get us Preckwinkle.
Let's talk to Toni Preckwinkle. I'm serious.
All
I'll talk to her.
We'll
She'll be mad at me, so I better leave.
Thank you, Eric. We appreciate it. That's Eric
great
Zorn.
To see you.
Great to see you. Great. We'll find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.